Welcome back to Truvine Talks with Rachel and Linda.
Had a 5K this morning. I was slow with molasses.
Awesome. That's for the Imagination Library, Dolly Parton's. Oh, perfect. That's so nice.
Love her helping
So
out.
generous.
Cool.
Incredible philanthropist.
Shout out to Dolly Parton.
Shout out to Miss Dolly. That's right. So speaking of children's books, we're talking about our inner child today.
Great connection.
Folks tend, you taught me that. Linda is incredible at taking any random conversation and just being like, skirt, now we're doing therapy. Like, she would
Oh.
always do that to me in supervision. I was like, wow. So,
Oh, thanks,
yeah.
Miss Rachel.
You're welcome.
Rachel keeps me on task too.
Keep each other focused here.
Yes.
People tend to like the Inner Child podcast, so we thought let's just do a like how do you meet your inner child? If you've never done that kind of work before and you're curious about spending some time doing that, on your own, how do you meet your inner child? How do you get to know them? What are the first steps?
Well, I was taught either by Dr. Leanne Campbell. Or Dr. Sue Johnson, I'm not sure which one taught me this. We ask our clients to go into their parents' photos album, those Polaroid pictures that you can shake. The Yeah, they used to have Polaroid pictures, and find your kid, your inner child, in some of those photos, and then pull it out. Whichever one sticks out to you. Preferably 12 and under, and we have them bring it to therapy. That's one of the first steps I was taught. So,
I love that. So it's kind of like refamiliarize yourself with those images of you as a child if you have them.
yeah.
Nice.
What's your first step, Miss Rachel?
I would usually ask my client, like, hey, describe you at this age, because there's usually like a specific age when things were like chaotic or difficult at home, and the client will like mention that age, like, oh, when I was 7, my parents divorced, something like that. And so I'll be like, hey, describe yourself to me at 7. How did you wear your hair? What kind of clothes would you wear? Like, what, and we'll start there. And they'll be like, oh, like I would have pigtails, or my hair was, really short and I would spike it or whatever. Did you wear glasses? Did you have a favorite toy or stuffed animal that you would play with a lot? Would you be reading books? Like, I just want to kind of get to know, like, hey, from their memory, like, paint me a picture. If little you was in the room with us right now at 7 years old, what would they look like? What would I see sitting right here with us?
I like that. Yeah. And they're gonna, they're like Rachel said, you're in the room and you have the child self there. And I like to ask, so what do you feel towards him or her? What's happening inside?
Yes, exactly. Once we have that pretty vivid image, then we go right into the emotions, right? What emotion does it stir up in you right here, right now, to visualize this younger version of you?
That's great. So we've got the younger self in the room, and you as the counselor are being the older, wiser other, along with their selves being the older, wiser other. And we're just going to get acquainted, like check in with the younger self. How are you doing? What's been happening in your world?
I'll ask how. So I ask questions to my client in the present day, about how they're the younger them is feeling. Does that make sense? So when I say on the podcast right now, when I say, how are they feeling? That's me asking my client about their inner child, just for clarity. I feel like the language can get confusing when we're talking about it.
Oh yeah, and a lot of times people, it feels so unfamiliar and so uncomfortable to go backwards that people will throw up a lot of protectors and defenses.
Yeah.
And of course, it is awkward and strange and unusual and uncomfortable until you go back in time with your younger self. And like Rachel has taught me, is to reparent that part. And in EFIT, what we do, the older, wiser self is the reparenting. And you're the secure attachment in the room with the younger self because
Right.
an unmet need didn't get met for
Right.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like to ask, how we've got this visual, what you look like. Now describe to me, what emotion do you see?
Ooh.
What's their body language telling you? What's their posture? What facial expression do they have? We try to get as detailed as possible. And so that might sound like, I see myself at 7, sitting on the floor of my bedroom. I'm curled up in a ball. My head is down. I'm crying. Right. So you want this like really detailed visual that kind of sets the mood, sets the emotional tone.
Yes. Yes. And remember, working with inner child as therapists, we've already done 5 to 6 sessions of just getting to know our client. You're not going to be asked to do this right away.
No.
Don't worry. It's okay. We're just going to go
Yeah.
slow into this.
Right. I've made sure you have healthy coping skills. I'm making sure that you're not getting like extremely activated when we talk about regular stuff in conversation. So we want to be like, what do they call that in EFT? Like de-escalated. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. If you're coming in, you're anxious and you're talking 100 miles per hour and you don't know what to start on, that's not the time to work on the inner child in therapy. So Rachel and I wouldn't be doing this process with you until, you're regulated and your nervous system is calm. I want you to be calm and breathe. So yeah. And so we're in the room, and like Rachel said, we're checking in. What do you see that part of you, your younger self, feeling? And yeah, sometimes it's scared, sometimes it's not seen, sometimes your younger self feels hurt by those in your home and alone. So
Yeah. Could be anything.
there's a net.
Yeah. I don't know if you run into this, Linda, but I think it's safe to say 100% of the time when I try to have my clients do that first kind of like interaction with their inner child, like, hey, what do you want to share with your younger self right now? They always want to like swoop in and try to make it everything okay. You get that too. Yeah. But it creates a lot of inner conflict for them because they know everything's not okay. And a lot of times it didn't turn out to ever become okay because they're still struggling today in the present, which is why they've decided to come to therapy and work on things. So they don't want to make that interaction because they're like, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to help. It feels like no matter what I say, like I'm being disingenuous here.
Yeah. That happens, yeah, quite often. And then that's okay. So when that shows up and they're like, it's okay, you're okay, that's not going to repair whatever hurt came that child's way. if you're hovering, like and you're it guarded, your younger self sitting there guarded and shaking because you know your parents were busting windshields or whatever they're doing, happens, they are breaking stuff. You're that part of you is scared, frightened, uncertain. There's no security in your life or in your home, so you don't know what to do. So, you know, you're going to be like, oh, just pick her up and run. Do I just tell her deal with it? What do I tell her to do?
Right. Everyone's kind of like, they're there. At first, because it's uncomfortable and they don't know what to do. So our goal is at first is like we're not trying to run in and save the day or fix everything. This is going to be a slow healing process. The very first thing we want to do is show up for our inner child and just validate everything that's happening in their life, right? Like your parents are fighting all the time and it's so loud and scary.
Yeah, and what's it like for you to tell her that?
Right.
Yeah. Wow, no one's ever recognized or even made me aware that I was scared. I didn't know that my younger self was scared all the time. Oh, wow. And that's kind of what Rachel and I are doing. It's like, what does that look like?
Yeah. Because when we're little and there's chaos happening around us, we don't understand what's going on. We see what's happening. Like we understand surface level, there's yelling. It's loud. It's, you know, it, but we don't understand like all the nuances. And why that's significant is like the nuance. As an adult looking back helps you understand what was happening, what was really happening. As a child, you're just guessing and you're like making stuff up to fill in the gaps, and you're walking away with your understanding. I say this in quotes as I must be a burden, and that's why everyone's upset.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Or I'm the problem here, and if I could just be better, then maybe they won't fight. Maybe there'll be less chaos. So that's what we're trying to undo by kind of like re-educating our inner child on what was actually going on.
Yeah, because it activates the call to action in your nervous system. And it's stored away inside your cells, the trauma that we experience. So my house, as I've said many times before on the podcast, was very chaotic. But what I noticed was, is when I would clean, and I had a client mention this sometime in the last couple of weeks, if I kept everything spotless, no one could lash out at me, right? Like if the kitchen was perfectly clean, there was no explosion. And I associated the, I was reinforced to keep cleaning to keep the chaos down. Now, why a clean environment kept them from fighting, I don't know. But as a child, I took it on myself to do the call to action to create homeostasis in my home. So it's always trying to control my environment. And if you have a wound as a kid, you're always trying to control your environment, and you do that in your relationships too.
It's an it's the yelling and conflict creates stress and anxiety within me because that's scary, right? That's true for anyone. And so, in attempt to self-soothe, I try to take care of other people's needs, right? I'm trying to control my external environment so that I don't have to experience the chaos. Makes perfect sense.
So you become an over-anxious pursuer, an overachiever, a people pleaser. And then you have no boundaries because you learned early on, if I scratch her head, rub their feet, cook, clean, do all these things, then they will stop being violent. That's the messaging to the brain. So it gets embedded into your cells. So that's what we're trying to get you to stop doing. Because people that are anxious, they overfunction, like Brené Brown says.
I was just going to say, overfunctioning equals safety.
Overfunctioning equals safety. Yep. And it's
Yeah.
not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're no longer in that environment, it's not necessary. So we're trying to re unlearn. Yeah.
Good.
Right. Trying to.
Unlearn.
So that what that looks like through inner child work is validating, right, to that inner child, just explaining like, look at everything you're doing. Look at everything you're doing. You're cleaning the kitchen. You're predicting everyone's needs, right? You're keeping everything so perfect and in place. And when you do that, you notice how calm it is, and that feels so safe. You're just trying to protect yourself and your family.
So brave,
So brave.
so
Yeah.
strong.
Yeah.
You're
It
not
makes
lazy at
sense.
all. Those doers are never, overfunctioners are never lazy.
No.
Yeah. But they're
No.
exhausted. And so Rachel and I are trying to communicate to you, if you're a listener, that you're probably still in that headspace, that your neurowiring hasn't changed until you meet that younger self and say, hey, you don't have to do that anymore.
Yep.
No. And then they're like, ah, the shoulders come down, the body relaxes, like, oh, I'm going to tell my younger self, hey, it's not your job to keep them from fighting.
It never was.
Nope.
Never was.
I understand you want to be safe. You're safe here now with me. Isn't that good?
It's so good.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be really hard for your inner child to take in at first.
Yeah,
There's
because
distrust that has been built up for years. Yeah.
And so that's when the part of the self shows up, the protector, the defenders, the managers start showing and be like,
Leave them alone. Leave this little one alone. Yeah.
no, we're going to stay activated in our nervous system and we're going to hyperfunction to our exhaustion to keep ourselves safe no matter what. That's what the protector is going to come in there and say. You can't relax. You can't chill. You can't be okay. They're trying to keep you safe, but we want to unburden the younger self or the manager part, and that's in the IFS model, which
Yeah.
sometimes for us comes up, and we like that model too, like both of them. And you want to say thank you for doing your job.
Yeah, and those managers are the behaviors that
Yes.
you just described as the
Thank you.
overfunctioning, like the multiple managers would be like the people pleasing part, the perfectionist part. Yeah.
The cleaning
The
part,
cleaning part.
the over-exercise part, the overachiever at school part. Yeah.
All of that.
So good. Yeah. And so we're trying to unburden that inner, we're trying to unburden the protectors and managers and the behaviors so that the younger self can reintegrate. And how do you do that, Rachel, in the room with the younger self? How do you get her, him or her to show up and let go?
Sometimes we'll just get the inner child kind of like caught up to speed, so to say, like with where we're at today, because they do get stuck, in whatever year it was or when they were 7 or however old. So I'll ask my clients, like, kind of like, hey, talk to your inner child and just kind of let them know where you're at currently. Like, hey, it's 2025 and this is where I work, or we're going to school here, or just like describe what you're doing, where you're living today.
Ooh, I
And
like
we'll
that.
see how the inner child kind of responds to that, right? Trying to like pull them out of the past into the present day. Makes sense.
That's good. And that helps them get reorient or get oriented with present time.
Yeah. Kind of like, hey, like we don't live at home with mom and dad anymore. We have our own place, right?
Gone, yeah.
Yeah. And no one's yelling at us if the dishes aren't done, or yeah, dinner's not at a certain time, or whatever.
Yeah. You didn't
We
have
have,
to.
go ahead.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have so much more autonomy now. That's what we want our inner child to know. We have autonomy.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. So, if you've experienced trauma, chaos, you have a chaotic attachment style with a primary caregiver, these are the things that we want to do to get her up to speed, he or she, and reparent that part. And then in every session, we're kind of orienting the younger self that it's okay, we're okay. We made it out of there. We made it out.
Yeah. It's really a process of rebuilding self-trust.
Thank you.
Because when you were a child, you couldn't trust and rely on yourself to keep you safe without developing some kind of unhealthy coping strategy like perfectionism, people pleasing, but because you didn't know, first of all, you didn't have the autonomy. You were going to get yelled at. You were going to get in trouble. You were going to get pulled into the conflict some way. It's a ripple effect. Even if you didn't get pulled in, it affected you. It affects everyone in that environment.
Oh yeah.
So you coped the best way you knew how. And
Yeah.
we're going to honor that always. We're
Yeah.
going to do our best to not get frustrated about that. Not criticize that in any way. That's why it's like validate, validate, validate. Of course you worked your tail off to keep that kitchen clean. It felt like as long as you could do that, you were keeping everyone safe. Yeah.
And that gets reinforced, okay, by
Yeah.
toxic parents or toxic environment. It gets reinforced because when you see they aren't fighting anymore and you've done toothbrush the floor, then you start thinking this helps them stay calm. So it reinforces your behavior to call to action to
Right.
do, and then you're left feeling
It's
exhausted.
conditioning, right?
Yeah, conditioning.
Classic psychology. Yeah,
Yeah.
you're conditioned. I use that word all the time.
Conditioned. Yep. So,
Conditioned to act, speak, look a
yes.
certain way. Yeah.
Exactly. So imagine not feeling the pressure to do. And the pressure to keep everything perfect. What would that be like for you? That's what I like to ask you. What would that be like?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
People's
know.
eyes get real big, like, I cannot imagine. Yeah.
Like, what would I do with myself? All I do is clean, Wow, what would it be like to have a hobby? What did you want to do as a kid?
That's a good question. I like that one.
I would have liked to went to the park and swing on the swing set. I'm using my twang, but
Yeah.
going down the slicky slide. Why am I here monitoring these people? Why is a 7-year-old managing adults?
Good question, right?
It is. Not discrediting that every generation has trauma. I'm just saying, and like Rachel has said in a previous podcast, she said it so well, and you helped me. It is not your job to figure out why the toxic parent got that way. That's not you're not their therapist as a kid. You're not. No.
Well, and when you say that, that reminds me of like a lot of people, and I think we've mentioned this before on previous podcasts, feel like it's disrespectful to their parents to talk about the things that were happening. I think a big part of that is because it's kept a secret. You know, when kids are growing up, it's like we don't air our dirty laundry. We don't talk about what's happening at home, outside of home. And so here you are in therapy, divulging everything that happened a lot of times for the first time. And there's something that feels wrong or icky about that because you were told you're breaking the rule. The unwritten rule, quotations again.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, Rachel, because I did break the rule. I told counselors, I told teachers, I told a Bible school teacher. I told
Good
everybody
for you.
I was a loud mouth. I was an anxious type. And during that time frame, no, there was no action. Had there been, like in current, the last 20 years, there would have been a removal, I think, of the children.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that's interesting because, did they want you to talk about what was happening? No. Did I talk about what was happening? Yes.
Yeah, good for you.
Well, but the older, wiser other people, the adults, the counselors, the leaders in the church, they didn't know what to do either. However, removal of kids back in the 90s, I think, was a possibility. Is that correct? I don't know.
I would think that they had child protective services back in the 90s.
I would have thought
Feel
so.
confident saying that, yeah.
Maybe there was a scale, Rachel. Like maybe
Maybe
there.
people weren't mandated reporters yet. I don't know.
Oh, we gotta find that out.
Yeah, we do.
I do wonder that because maybe there was a scale. Maybe it was like if they hit you so many times, then they call CPS. Or maybe it was if you were being sexually. I don't know. I don't know what the criteria
Yeah.
was to call CPS back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe you had the experience that like you did talk about it and nothing happened, and so it seemed like pointless. Yeah.
Tight lip yourself because you want to stay prideful and puffed up and put on a pretty face out to public, go to church, act like everything's okay. Okay, not okay, not okay. Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of our folks have been shamed into zipping it up, you know.
Yeah. And so I tell folks this is not about, or it doesn't have to be about, it can be if you want it to be, but it doesn't have to be about pointing a finger at your
Oh.
caregivers and demonizing them. And
No.
that's not what it's about. This is about just honoring your experience. This happened to you, and you deserve to be able to talk about it in a safe space and make sense of it and heal from it. Like, this is real.
Thank you. Well said, Rachel. That's
Thanks.
what we want people to know. Yeah, so I think we've covered quite a bit on the inner child and how to introduce yourself to your inner child. I think that's a good topic. So, yeah. Any other thoughts or input before we head out?
Let's say if you're doing this on your own, take it very, very slow. And if you get overwhelmed, have something to distract yourself ready
Yes.
so that you can switch gears. We don't need to be getting flooded and have a panic attack or anything like that.
No.
And if you're doing this in therapy and you're feel like you're about to be flooded, share that with your therapist. You do not need to like stuff that down and people please your therapist. We do not want you to just go with the flow along with, we need to know if you're reaching like the point outside of your window of tolerance. Yeah.
That threshold.
The threshold, exactly.
Yeah. So let us know. Oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. There's some anxiety. My chest is tight. I'm getting hot all over. Okay, your body's responding to this inability to not feel safe right now.
Yeah, I love to know that.
Yeah.
I think anytime someone lets me know that, I'm like, thank you so much for telling me. That's so important for me to know. Let's push pause. Yeah.
We'll slow it down. We can talk about the concert you're going to go see. It's how we do it.
Yeah. Because we as your therapist don't want to dive in the deep end. We
Nope.
want to slowly wade from shallow to deep, and we can only do that if you're letting us know your inner experience of what's happening. So I can't always see it. Yeah.
Exactly. You can't always see it. We try to read on the face, but sometimes it's not evident to us.
Right.
We're not mind readers. We're not psychic.
No, some people are really good at putting that mask on and like pretending like everything's okay. Now, if you've got the 3 mile stare glazing over, I can tell, and I'm like reeling it way back real fast. But yeah.
And we ask, are you here with me, Rachel?
Right.
Are you still here? I'm here with you. Yeah. So if you're interested or desire to work through some of your trauma, Rachel is now full, but we also have Kaylin, Hannah, and Caitlin that are taking new clients. And you can go to our website. Would you say our website? It's too many words.
Yeah, www.truevinewv.com.
Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so until next time.
Yeah, everybody take care.
Bye.
Bye.